Blog Talk
Good evening,
Radio.
Everyone. Good evening, everyone. My name is Diana, Lady Di, here on Relationships Matter. Unfortunately, my co-host, Taiwan, is not going to be present tonight. He has something else to do. He has an emergency. And we actually had a guest by the name of Genevieve Bogle, and she's a certified personal trainer, life skills coach, author, motivational speaker, and voiceover artist, mother of two. And she has a great book called Single, Sexy, and Satisfied. And I actually took a glimpse of it, and she just seems to be an amazing woman. And I know she couldn't make it. I hope to speak with her in the future. And I definitely want to quote something that she had said. She had mentioned that you can't have faith and fear exist at the same time. You must choose one. And that's a very powerful statement, I have to definitely say, because it's a reflection of me. Most of my life, I have put a lot of fear. I feared relationships. I fear failure, just like every person out there, every normal person out there feels the same way. My fears have held me back from a lot of opportunities because I've always spoke about it. And they say the power of the tongue is very, very strong. So because of my fears, it led me to go in directions that didn't exactly parallel to where I wanted to be. I stem from a lot of past abuse growing up as a child. Watching it in my home, I feared relationships. I feared having a man control me, and it had a lot to do with growing up and watching what I watched. My mom feeling vulnerable, or the men feeling like they had to be in control of something. And I watched a beautiful woman feel like she had to settle. I watched a beautiful woman fear being by herself because she wanted to be like the norm. And it stems from other people in my family as well, like my aunts, and I'm not gonna my cousins, they're all happily married. But I just wanted to stem through that. I watched a lot of setbacks become my choices. You know, we all have choices in life. And I told myself after one incident that happened to me when I was about 11 years old that I would never let a man touch me. And I just went with that for the rest of my life. And being an only child, I was very overprotective of my mom. I didn't want anybody to put their hands on her, especially after the man that abused her, and then he was murdered. So once he was murdered, it was me and her, and I wanted to be us. So I planted it in my head to never let a man touch me, never let a man walk all over me. Well, my mother wasn't like that. She needed to have someone who can make her happy. And then also that set me back even more because I felt like, well, why can't I make her happy? But see, I didn't understand because when you're a child, you don't understand the level of happiness an adult has versus what a child has. So I'm thinking, okay, all she needed was me and all I needed was her. But in essence, I needed more. And she needed just as much. And we wouldn't hold that back from each other. But I, as the only child that I was, the power of the tongue, I never allowed relationships to fester in my life. I watched all my peers talk about being in relationships. And I kept saying, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to focus on school and I'm going to do me. I'm going to do everything that makes me happy. And I just saw a lot of my peers just rock with it. They just, they weren't afraid. See, it's about fear. I feared a lot of things. I feared intimacy, so I didn't become close. My friends did. They were open. They said, look, I mean, in order for us to find somebody, we're going to get hurt. But I was afraid. So I spent my entire high school year, focusing just on my books and coming straight home and watching videos of Janet Jackson and reading books and staying confined to my home. And my creativity blossomed, yes, it did, but my socialization skills and my intimacy skills have decreased out of fear. Remember, setbacks. So I made a choice to live in fear, not in faith. And my fears got the best of me. I never went to my prom when most of my peers went to proms. I stayed home. I've had people tell me, why didn't you go to your prom? Nobody asked me. Nobody didn't have to ask me. I made the choice years ago never to let anyone touch me, never let anyone come close to me. So I went into that, and I continued to be that way. Now we're going into my college years. I meet good friends outside of my circle. I noticed that there were some things about me that still needed to grow. I felt like I was still a child, even though I was in college as a college student. So I still didn't walk on faith. I still had fear. For the first time, my communications teacher gave me my first paper, and it was a D. And I didn't understand it. And she told me, she says, your writing is all over the place. I suggest you work on that. And I said, well, what do you mean? I don't understand. Well, it sounds like you have a lot to say. You have a story to tell, but it's all over the place. So please put it together, or you're going to continue to get this type of grade. So I started to think back, well, you know what? Maybe my life is a reflection of what I write on paper. It was all over the place. There was nothing flowing. So until, and it kept happening. I kept doing it, continuing with fear again. I let her constructive criticism take me even further back. I remember one time I had my cousin, Elizabeth, help me with my writing, and I cried. I cried because she was correcting me. She was helping me, but I cried because I felt like, okay, I'm failing. I'm failing because I'm not achieving to the level and status that I needed to be. I feel like a disappointment. That's what I kept saying to myself. I kept saying it inside, and it kept coming out. So it happened one day. I met a great mentor, and it was out of the blue. I was working with counseling with kids. There was something about her, and it was something about me she liked. She noticed how quiet I was, how timid. And here I was, I'm supposed to be a counselor, counseling younger kids, but I needed counseling myself. So she came up to me. She says, "Let's talk. Tell me about yourself." Well, I told her the power of the tongue. I said, I'm an only child. I don't have a lot of friends. I keep to myself. Me and my mom are best friends. I don't like to keep anyone in my circle because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid I'm not good enough to be friends with someone." So she says, "You're sounding negative. Your negativity is putting you where you are at exactly right at this moment." So she told me to write something about myself. Write something positive about myself. And you, if you want to write something that happened in your life, but turn it into something positive. She asked me, "Do I believe in God?" I said, "Yes." She's like, "You sure? Because you don't sound like somebody that believes in God. You sound like you believe in man." So I was like, "Okay. All right, well, let me write something about myself." And I opened up so much about myself, starting at the time I was 7 years old up until I turned 21. It was a 15-page paper. Never wrote that much in my entire life. Even showed my mother, and it brought her to tears. So when I showed it to my mentor, she was like, "This is powerful. You are a spoken voice. Like, you need to express this more. You've been bottling this all inside of you for so long." And she was like, "I want you to pray with me." Now, that's the first time anybody took their hands out and asked me to pray with them. I mean, I go to church, I sit there, I listen to the preacher. You know, he'll say a few scriptures, and then I leave, and I'm still the same person. But this is a woman that reached her hands out to me and held my hand. She said, "Let's pray." And the minute she prayed, I can't tell you how much the tears flowed down. So instead of me having so much fear in my heart, I decided to put more faith in my heart. So ever since then, I wrote a plan for myself. And that plan was for the next 5 years, what do I want to accomplish in my life? And I started to enjoy writing. So now that I started to enjoy writing, I started reading the Bible more. I started talking positive, speaking nothing but positivity, looking at comedy, trying to fill some positivity in my life because I was always so negative. And nobody changed me. You know, and the thing was, I was surrounded by negative people because you are what you attract. So being that I was walking in a positive light now, having people under my wing that were strong and helped me and lift me up, it made me into a different woman. First time I started writing poetry at the age of 22. I started writing stuff to my mom. She was fascinated by it. And then I kept a diary. So for years I was writing. I was writing songs, a lot of stuff. Just started pouring out. in me. I took things that I wrote when I was a kid and I made it into something that was spiritual. And then something changed my entire life. My family members started to, and then everything just kind of went downhill. So I thought I was going up with, you know, I had faith. I spent years in fear. And then I had faith, and now it went back down again. I lost my uncle. I lost my aunt. I lost my grandmother, my grandfather. Now, all of a sudden, my mother didn't want to tell me she got sick. And she told me, she says, I want you to write my obituaries. I said, why? Why do you want me? Because I know you can, and you know all about me. I don't want just anybody writing stuff about me, and I want you to write a poem for me. So I did everything, and she looked at it. But it was the hardest thing I ever had to write. Writing your parents' obituaries is the hardest thing ever. It's the biggest challenge ever. And writing a poem that she got the chance to look at, and she was overwhelmed in tears. I didn't know she was sick, but she just kept preparing me. And then God took her away. But when God took her away, it made me write even more and more and more, and it made me so determined that my fears turned into faith. I felt like, okay, Mom, you got me. I got you. We got each other. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let the fruits of the labor, let God's divine testimony on me just show the world everything. I went on stage. I did poetry. I did music. I danced on stage for the first time in Harlem. All the things I would have never thought I would ever have done at 14. At 14, I was like, oh, I don't want nobody touching me. I'm going to live this way. And for some reason, things happen that makes you go up and down, up and down. So it opened doors. My talent, my blessing, everything that God puts in place for me, He knew what He was doing. He knew what He was doing. And He made it bigger than what it was. I met so many celebrities just by my words and my confidence. I took everything that people used to say to me and I flipped it. Because remember, when you're in fear, you think negative. You don't embrace anything positive. Everybody that's negative will tell you something, and it will just change you and make you into that negative person. But I was surrounding myself with positive vibes, positive people. Those positive people changed me. And I stayed in faith. And when you stay in faith, it constantly tests you. It makes you take three steps back and say, no, I don't think she's ready. You sure she's positive? Let me throw something at her. Let me give her this. Matter of fact, I'm going to test who she really is. I'm going to give her somebody and put that person in her life, and that person is going to bring her down and bring her back up. So, moving forward, when I was listening to Genevieve talk about being single and feeling like, okay, well, you know what? Being a single woman is not bad. And it's just a status. It's not an epidemic. It doesn't mean you're going to be single for the rest of your life. I actually felt like that. I felt like, you know what? Hear the power of the tongue again. Dating is not for me. That's what I kept saying. I say this to this day. I can accomplish a million other things, but dating, dating is the only thing that I will go right back into fear mode. And then I had someone speak to me last night, and then she told me, after I was reading Genevieve, I said, I had a bad experience with dating just over the weekend. What's going on? I got everything in check. I was fearful of having friends. I was fearful of the way I look. I mastered everything, all the stuff that my writing, all that stuff. I mean, I'm in grad school. I'm doing so much for myself. But here we are. Why am I still single? my friend, she told me, she said, you want to know why you're still single? Because you want to be. You choose to be. You're a beautiful girl, Diana. No, no, you're a beautiful woman. But you make up every excuse because you don't want to get hurt. You know, the last dude hurt you. And now you're using him as a reason to never move forward. Now you're making it about yourself. Now you're making it a choice about yourself. He has nothing to do with this. He's moved on. He's in his comfort zone. He's in his space. He's where he's supposed to be. You're where you're supposed to be, but you're using him as a reason to never move forward in terms of relationships. I had a friend tell me that. I said, okay, watch what you say. And I said, okay. I'm still not getting it. I mean, I'm educated. I'm a beautiful black woman. My friend once again says, "Well, you make fun of yourself. You're comedy. You're funny, but you make fun of yourself. You actually bring yourself down. You actually make yourself look like you're this really big chick who's ugly and doesn't deserve nobody. But you joke about it. That's not funny. You're giving other people a reason to laugh at you." You're giving other people a reason to say, as long as Diana is single, I'm good. I'm good, because I know Diana's going to always be single. You got to flip that, honey. And I had that great friend tell me that. You got to flip that, because you deserve to have a good man in your life. You deserve to have that best friend that you desire. Why don't you talk to him? Talk to him. So I'm like, I sound crazy. Who am I talking to? I'm going to talk to the wall? She said, no, talk to him. Just talk to him. So I said, okay, I'm on the phone. I was like, okay, I'm going to talk to him. Hey, I don't know your name, but hi. You know what? When I see you, I'm going to hurt you. Then she stopped me. She says, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. Just be nice. Be nice. Stop talking like you're about to do the comedy skit or what. Just talk to him. And I said, okay, all right, I'm going to be serious. Hi, my name is Diana. It's a pleasure to meet you. Finally, I met the man that I've been waiting for because I had to work on me. So now I met you. And you are beautiful, you're handsome, you're everything I didn't even think of. And I started to cry. And then my friend was like, wait, well, why are you crying? Because my mom is not here to see this. Yeah, yes, she is. Look in the mirror. Say hi, mom. So I looked in the mirror. She said, look in the mirror. Your mom is right there. So I looked in the mirror and my tears in my eyes, and I said, hi. And she said, tell your mom you're not going to be single forever, like you told her before she left this world. Tell her. And I said, Mom, I'm not going to be single forever, because as fine as you are, you were never single. So, and then she said, she stopped me again. She says, you're doing it again. You're being funny. Be serious. Talk to mommy. Be serious. I said, all right. Mom, here's my husband. And husband, here's my mother. And then I stopped and I spoke to my friend. I said, all right, so how am I supposed to explain to this man my mom is not here? Just look in the mirror. look in the mirror. And it was the most intense conversation I ever had with my friend. And it was actually very thought-provoking. And the reason why I say it's very thought-provoking is because I never really, I don't talk to my friends like that. Like, I feed off of intellect, and when I feel like my mind is not going there, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? So she's like, how does it feel? You just spoke to your husband, not your boyfriend, your husband. So I said to her, okay, now that I met my husband, how did I meet him? Like, what? Because right at this moment, I don't like to talk on the phone. I don't like to text all the time. I'm always focused on my work. She says, you're doing it again. You're holding yourself back. Why can't you talk on the phone? You're talking to me. Why can't you talk to a guy like this? Afraid to give him a... She cut me off. See, I need friends like that. I need friends that are going to just encourage me. I need that. Because without that, I would still stay where I'm at. Then, as we were talking, I kept telling her, I said, you know, there's so many educated black women out there. Why are we the last to get picked by our own brothers? Why? Like, all right. Yes, I have an African-American mother and a white father, Italian. But still in all, I love my brothers. I love a black man. And she's like, why don't you just be more open, Mala? Why don't you just date outside, date other men? Why you have to always stick with black men? I said, I feel comfortable with a black man. I'm being honest. I'm comfortable with my brothers. I love them. She said, no, you don't. You don't love them, because if you love them, you wouldn't have them already. Oh, well, Jesus Christ. So, all right, I like them, but... And she's going to stop me before I was going to say something stupid. So I was like, okay. I'm telling you, she cut me off at every chance. She was like, I know you're going to say something negative. So it goes back to, you know, when you choose faith, that's the choice you have. You can't have faith and fear exist at the same time. You got to choose one. So for years I was choosing fear. Then I chose faith. Then I chose fear again, fear in relationships. I have faith in everything else, but then, like I said, you can't. You have to choose one. You have to stick with one and be consistent with it. So I'm working on that, and I spoke to my husband, and his name is not Tyrese. My husband's name is not Jesse Smollett. My husband's name is not... whatever, he's who he is. And I'm going to meet him when I am ready to meet him, and he's ready to meet me. He's probably going through some stuff right now. He is, and he's learning from that. And I had another friend tell me, would you ever be open to dating someone younger than yourself? And here I go. I'm like, I'm just... Because I'm just, I told my friend, I said, I can't see myself dating a 29-year-old guy or a 30-year-old guy, because I don't want to compete with 30-year-old women, 25-year-old women. I don't have time. I don't want to. I don't want to feel like I'm walking with a young man and all these googly eyes from women who still live at home and they have the perfect body and they don't have a stretch mark to call their name. And they're with their, you know, hairstyles and their tutorials on Facebook and their Instagram pages. I can't compete with that. That's way too much. And that'll send me right back into the I don't trust nobody category. And I feel like with an older man, he's not going to look around. He's not going to be like, oh, look at that hot mama. Look at that hot mama. He's going to be happy with what he has. So I feel more safer knowing that me and that man are on the same level. And then he says, well, what if the man that you meet is on the same level as you? He just happens to be younger. I said, well, I'm going to let God work on that because I need to be convinced. And once again, it goes back into, you know, you're speaking things that are in existence. So it's because it's funny how I always said I love my brother. So that's all I ever attracted. White guys never approached me. I never dated an Hispanic guy. I never dated an Indian guy. I never dated anyone. I never dated an Asian guy. I only dated dark-skinned men. Light-skinned men didn't even approach me because why? Because I said, I like my men dark-skinned. That's it. That's all I dated. If I dated a light-skinned guy, it was by accident. Maybe he and I just dumped on each other and, I don't know, we slept together. This wasn't my fault. But it was always by accident. And then we'd break up and I wouldn't know who he is 20 years from now. But I've always attracted dark-skinned men. So that's what I got. I always attracted tall men because that's what I like, tall men. So if I saw a guy that was short, I looked at him like he must be crazy. So I never attracted. So I always spoke it in existence. They were tall, dark, and handsome. That's what I wanted. So I got tall, dark, and lazy. Tall, dark, and you know the rest. So that's what I kept attracting. So the power of the tongue. So just like my friend was like, why don't you just date and be open? Be open. Don't be so close-minded. That's why you're where you're at, because you stay in this box. Get out of your box, open up, and let faith step in. And I mean faith on every single level. Yeah, you can have it going on with your job. You could brag about, oh, I make this much money. Oh, I'm this and that. Oh, I'm this and that. But you know what? You're coming home and, okay, you got someone you're coming home to. It's your family members. But you don't have someone holding you at night. And that's the thing. When I have family members give me hugs and embrace me and hold me, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied because they're not my mother and they're not the man that I want to hold me. So I was afraid of anyone touching me. Remember, I did say I didn't want nobody to touch me. So I spoke that into existence. So no man has ever satisfied me in that way by touching me. But deep down inside, I was yearning for love. I was yearning for the love that my mother gave me, you know. And that's another topic about, you know, in terms of relationships. And I know I'm telling everyone my story, but it's somebody out there can relate to me in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I'm not the only one out there. You know, I posted on Facebook a while ago how on Mother's Day, I had some female friends that have lost their mothers, and I couldn't relate to them because at the time my mother was still here. So it's amazing how I was once immature minded. I was never really there for people because I had what I had. I had my family. I had my mom. I had everybody. So when everybody was losing their relatives, I couldn't relate. I was selfish. I kept saying to myself, like everybody says to this day, I can't imagine losing my mother. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. And I said that because it was about me. You know, we live in a world about self until it happens to you. And I remember my mom telling me, you know, I'm not going to always be here forever. And I love you. So her love was so strong because it was just me and her that I became crippled without her. I felt like once she passed away, nobody loved me anymore. Nobody loved me like her. Not my cousins, not my uncles, not. I was angry. I was bitter. I said, the most beautiful person in the world left me in a world that nobody loves me. So when you feel like that, you don't know how to love anybody else. So there was a cloud, that fear. It was that heavy, heavy cloud. And it made me feel like I wasn't worthy. And I felt like that for years. And then when I started mentoring kids, I wanted to do something that showed a side of myself that I do have compassion. And when I started to challenge my fears and mentor other kids, a young man, his mother had passed away. And, I wasn't there for my friends whose mothers passed away because my mother was here. Now that my mother wasn't here, I could relate to somebody who lost their parent, and he was a child. He was a child. So when he sat next to me and he just cried, he's like, what am I gonna do? Who's gonna love me? Who's gonna be there for me? I'm young. I don't know what to do. And he was only 13 years old, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, that sounds like me. And when he started crying, I didn't make it about me anymore. I made it about him. I held him in my arms, and I said, you got me, and I love you. I'm not your mother, but I love you. And I think that's what he needed to hear. He needed to hear that somebody loves him. It may not be blood, but somebody loves him. And a part of me was like, God, I wish somebody said this about me. And I laughed, and I said, you know what? Maybe that's just my mom doing that. I know that's her. That's her like, come on, you, me. All that, that's me. I'm putting it all on you. So I took this 13-year-old boy into my life, and I made him a part of my family. And he was not, he was not a client. He's not some kid with a name or social security number or a psychosocial. He was a human being. So my mother put that all in me because, I was just like, nope, that was all my mother. Because my mother was a giving person. She would give the clothes off her back to anyone who needed it. She did it to me. She protected me. She guided me. She's like, okay, you know what? I know there's a part of will in you because you are my child, so I'm bringing somebody into your life. God is doing this. So God is telling me, like, you have love in there. There's love in your heart. You just don't want to show it, but you did. Congratulations. You did it. You showed somebody that they're worthy of love. You didn't make it about yourself. You made it about that boy. So I took him in. I took him in and raised him like he was my own child. So, I always say to my girlfriends, I'm like, you guys have kids, and I don't have kids, but they're like, no, sweetheart, you have a child, you have a son, and God does not make mistakes. You are chosen to take care of somebody, conquered it, and now my baby is 21 years old, and he's a man. And I love him with all my heart. He's a very special person as well. And he's also taught me about love and self-worth and having that that beauty of light that constantly was always dark, now it's light again. So I'm blessed, and that's all the doings of God. He shaped my fears. He challenged me because I said to myself, nobody's living with me. That was all me. And now God was like, nope. My mom was like, nope. Absolutely not. So you could say I'm a mother, I'm a sister, I'm a friend, I'm a cuckoo bird who's making everybody smile right now. I know Taiwan is listening. I have to say, just by what I've been listening and, you know, watching with Genevieve about, it sent so much to me. You know, I wish I'd be able to talk to her because she's such a motivational person, but she definitely put some key points. She talked about self-worth, which I mentioned, selflessness, which is what I deal with for young 13-year-olds, counting on myself to build and speak in existence, love and prosperity. And yes, I mean, I may not like certain situations in my life, but, you know, there, nothing is by accident. You know, nothing. I've went through stages in my life where I didn't think I was going to master anything. And then I was challenged. And it's just a matter of knowing, who am I? Who am I? Who am I really? Am I Diana from Stapleton? Am I Diana from Great Hills? Am I Diana the comedian? Am I Diana the mother, the godmother, the sister? I'm a lot of things, but who am I? I'm a woman with such a compassionate, I'll give you what I have. And I love to laugh. I have to, because I've been through a lot of storms. I've been through a lot of storms, so I have to laugh, because without laughter, I don't know where I would be right now. Everything that I've been through was never a mistake. I look at pictures of my mom every day, and she's always smiling at me. She's like, I'm so proud of you. She says it to me all the time. I should be like, I need you to stay a little louder. Stay a little louder. And my mother just smiles at me. She's like, I'm so proud of you. And she's so smart. I'm looking at her picture. She's like, she's so. And every time I look at her picture, I see myself, and I'm like, oh my God, is she proud of me? And then I could just see my mother, like, really, just, you know, trust when your mother says she's proud of you, because she is. And I know we have 15 minutes left, and I know I told you all about my wonderful life. And moving forward, there are a few things I like to say I want to have in my life that I don't have. And I want more time with my family. When I say family, my definition of family are people that have been in my life, and they are, and the people that are my blood. That's what I consider family. I want to see them more. I don't, you know, my fear of driving longer than 30 minutes has given me the reason to not see my relatives. So I want to see them more, because I have so many cousins that I haven't seen, and they're like, who is Mama, who is this? So I want to change that, who is this, to, oh, that's your cousin Diana. Oh, hey, girl. You know, I want to change that. I have some wonderful friends in my life that keep me strong, keep me motivated all the time. I have a wonderful friend, Lachelle. She sends me spiritual words of the day. I have a coworker who also sends me scriptures every day. Positiveness. I love it. I love it. I have cousins in Atlanta who have supported my trials and tribulations. I love them dearly. Without them, I don't know where I'd be. I love them, and they know who they are. I have professors that are awesome and stand by my growth every day. I remember for the first time in 15 years, going back to school was the most phenomenal choice I've ever made in my entire life. And I'm sitting in a classroom full of young people. I'm like, oh, my God. She's like, she looked at me and she was like, no, boo-boo. You are just as worthy of being here as the next person. So when I did my presentation in front of the class, it was amazing because I said, I haven't done a presentation in 15 years, so if I sound gibberish, forgive me. But she's like, you were great. You were great. So, and she's such an inspiration. She always checks up on me and sees how I'm doing, and I'm in my second semester in school. Everybody knows I'm a music head. I love music. I had one of my other kids from my program ask me why I never did music. It's like you're on your Facebook. You have so much music. Like, I know you're a music fan. How come you're not on TV by now? I said, well, Babyface didn't call me. TLC didn't have no more hits, and they didn't want no more writers. I don't know. I was in a group. I was in the female group back some 13 years ago by the name of Mahogany, but we never really ventured anywhere. That's typical in the business. But I love my writing, so we constantly would write songs. And I wrote one particular song that I received an ASCAP nomination. It's called A Guy I Once Knew. Oh, God. I hope he's not listening. But it's about a guy I once knew. And he was so good to me, and now he's gone. He's gone. He's probably in Paris somewhere. I don't know. He was a very nice guy. My mother loved him. But I wasn't ready. Like I said in the beginning, I wasn't trying to be in any relationship, so I messed that one up. But we stayed friends, and I told him I wrote a song about him. And he chuckled. He was like, oh, my God, you wrote a song about me? I didn't think I was that special. I was like, you really wasn't, but it's a great story. So I decided to write one. So, yes, that was one. But I've had someone ask me, will I ever write songs again? I said, well, I would. I still have a diary. You should see my diary. It's crazy. I could write at least maybe three albums worth of, I went through some stuff. And I had a cousin of mine, she actually asked me, well, you know what, you should post them on Facebook and get, see what people say, it doesn't hurt. And I was like, I don't show these fools my stuff. They don't know. It's all negative, right? Yeah. But I was just a little, wasn't too ready. But I have a lot of stuff, and they probably are really good. I'm sure they are really good. It's just that I never said this to the right person. And I know Taiwan was, he's really checking up on me. I can hear him. Yeah. It is. Trust me, it is. He's gonna hurt me. and I had another friend a while ago. She actually saw me do a performance at the Noriko Cafe. This is years ago. And that's when I actually bumped into Crucial Keys. He actually is the songwriter, the producer next to Alicia Keys, where they had their Crucial Keys movement back in the day. I bumped into him and we talked, and I this was the days when I was looking like Alicia. So that's why it was so easy for me to, you know, and I actually have to say that that moment for me was epic, because I actually showcased a lot of stuff. And, yeah, I've been told, why don't I do this? And it takes time. It takes time. So, but moving forward, I'm going to channel a lot of stuff. I'm going to process a lot. And I don't know, Genevieve really got me going today. There was a reason behind this. I know she's not on this show today, but reading her story and listening to her blogs, she really opened my eyes. I can't even tell you. She really, really opened my eyes. She's a certified personal trainer, lifestyle coach, motivational speaker. This, like I said, she's not here, but she has a great book, Single, Sexy, and Satisfied. Girl, I'm on that. I'm on that. And she has a website called www.fitsexylife.com. I'm just, you know, looking at it. And she has, and on Facebook, Genevieve, Janvieve, Naomi Fogle, Naemani Fogle, Folle, or Fogle. Excuse me if I'm pronouncing it wrong. But she's on Facebook, and I was just going through her blogs, and she was telling a lot of her viewers, like, no negativity on my site. I will block you. I will delete you. She was just all positive. And she started opening me up to things that's why I'm sitting here confessing my whole life to you people. I said, this woman, but I have to thank her even though she's not here. Thank you for me. I mean, just thank you. Thank you. A sister who's doing it all, and it's positive, and she really opened my eyes a lot, and I was just so glued to her, you know, all her blogs. So I just wanted to emphasize that. She's the reason why I'm doing all of this talking. Now that everybody knows all about me, I don't want to hear nobody say that they don't know who Lady Di is. You know all about me. Probably some of y'all cried. Okay, and some of you guys laughed, and some of you guys were like, "What the hell? I thought so and so was gonna be on the show, and you got this young lady on the show, and she's just talking, and I don't know." And then, you know, I can hear Taiwan, you know, like, "Girl, you wait till next week." So, I'm gonna try to act like I'm Taiwan right now. And I know he's gonna be like, this girl's about to get fired. So everyone, I have to say we have 5 minutes left, and we just want to say thank you for today's show and our co-host Lady Di. And we hope that everyone enjoys the show, and that next week we'll have a great one-hour session with the most uplifting spiritual people that can ever just come into our sector. You know, we're all about relationships Matter. We're all about growth and building each other, and it's about partnerships. It's about relationships on every sector. Right, Lady Di? And then I'll jump in and I'll be like, oh, Desi, where's the clapping? Where's the clapping? And, you know, and let me see. I'll tell them that. That's all him. That's all him because, you know, he likes to do that, make himself, you know, like he's the man. And I'm just, you know, I'm like, okay, Taiwan. So this is Taiwan. So Lady Di, you enjoy the show? And I'm like, yeah. It was breathtaking. It was amazing. Amazing. So Taiwan's going to say, well, next week our guest will be Gary Anthony Sturgis, and of Tyler Perry's Daddy's Little Girl and The Diary of a Mad Black Woman. So that's going to come up next week on the 15th from 6:30 to 10:30. So, you know, there we have it. So we had a wonderful, wonderful show. Right, Di? And then I'm like, oh, yeah. It was wonderful. It was amazing, and I loved it. It was inspiring, you know, just to hear this young lady, my boss. I hope Taiwan is proud of me. It's actually the first time I've ever spoken on a radio show, actually by myself. By myself, but he's listening. He's listening. His foot got cut off. And they about to do some surgery on his foot. So as soon as his foot gets together, he'll be back walking and talking, and he'd be like, he's just chilling. But right now he's on, you know, he's on some, like, getting his foot done. So, and me, yeah, my feet need a healing too. But we have 2 minutes left. So I was going to find something. There was a saying, something my grandmother used to tell me. Something that my grandmother mentioned to me a lot as a kid to close the show because we're less than 2 minutes. I remember being in the living room with my grandmother. We used to live on 192 Grandview Avenue in Staten Island. And my grandmother used to always look out the window. And I used to ask my grandmother, "What are you looking at? Like, why? What is so fascinating that you're looking out the window?" And she says, "Baby, the reason why I look out the window is because God is watching me, and when He's watching me, He's watching you." And I can't tell you how proud that made me feel. To hear that, it was amazing. She always says that it was the most fascinating thing I could ever hear in my entire life. So thank you everyone for having me. I feel like Martin Lawrence by myself. it was an honor to. I hope my story has helped a lot of people. I'm still a work in progress every day. And I look forward to my sidekick coming on next week. So I just want to tell everyone, please be safe. Please be blessed. And smile, always, because God got your back. We are all spiritual beings in this beautiful world here. And I definitely have to say I love you guys. Thank you so much. Love y'all. Peace.